Hello, welcome to the Intentional Evolution Podcast. I am your host, Vision Battlesword, integral consultant and founder of I Evolve Life, a personal and professional development practice based on the philosophy of intentional evolution. This podcast is an ongoing conversation to explore that philosophy, as well as to serve as a resource, a showcase, and a catalyst for ongoing growth toward the human singularity. That is to say, mass awakening of new consciousness, super intelligence, and radical creative flourishing. Each episode, I'll feature a world-class transformational facilitator, co-creator, or friend to reveal cutting-edge psycho-spiritual technology, unpack our deepest wisdom, and evolve our awareness. This series is based on value for value, so whatever value you receive from these transmissions, please return some value back in the form of a donation, directly supporting our contributors, or offering your own time and talent as a producer. Thanks for joining me in this journey. And now, here's our episode. Well, thanks again for stopping by to have an intentional evolution conversation.
I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, and I'm excited for the topic that you suggested, because this feels very on point and on theme for our mission, what it is that we're doing here. And it's not something I probably would have thought to explore, which is why like this whole dialectical process is so important. Getting different perspectives and getting different people together with their skills and their wisdom and their experience, but also their different ways of looking at things. So I'm really glad that you suggested this, and it's going to be really fun. And I think maybe even a little vulnerable for me to dig into it with you, but I'm getting ahead of myself, because before we open up that topic, I want to ask you a very important question, which is, who are you, Jessica Stepnowski?
That's a loaded question. And I've been playing around with the identity of myself. And I think that goes into our topic of surrender, because when you're on this path of devotion to your full self, all of you, you surrender into what it is that you actually are. And going into a slight context, for the last 6 years, I identified as coach. I identified as someone who was here to support people and help them get better into who they're becoming. And that's still my mission at my core. But the coach identity kind of evolved for me, and I was kind of grieving that a bit, because I was like, I don't know if I identify with coach. And now that I'm here, I've been really sitting with, who am I? And what really feels true is someone who, it's so silly, but it's like someone who has really been given an opportunity to come to this planet, because I believe we're all just light beings in a flesh suit, in our own way, and from different planets and origins. And that comes way back from like my Akashic experiences. And now that I do Akashic readings, I get that now. And I really feel that my mission is to really help people attune to their own frequency of who they are supposed to be and who they've been all along, the sense of remembering. And I could say, yes, I'm psychic, I'm an Akashic channel, I'm a medicine woman, like all those, I'm sage, mystic, like all those identify with me. And also, I'm in a process of still connecting with the root, and then also surrendering into who I am. Maybe it's an energetic essence of myself that I just represent. My mission is really to help people evolve into their becoming. And I love to take people into the depths of their shadow, like the deep, dark depths. And I think that's where my inner medicine woman loves to come out, because whether I'm like facilitating medicine or working with somebody in a ceremonial essence, it's the sense of helping someone really unravel all of themselves, this surrender that we're about to get into, this letting go of like the grips and the identities and the attachments and the roles, and like coming back into an ego shattering death of like, what if you're nothing? Who are you then? And I love helping people pick the right pieces for their puzzle that are really in alignment with that blank state of, I am nothing. Who do I get to be? Who am I remembering I get to be?
Hmm. I like that frame. I don't know that I've heard that before or thought about it that way before. Who am I remembering that I get to be? That's cool. I like that. What does intentional evolution mean to you?
Intentional evolution is, to me, this conscious choice to evolve into the version of myself that I'm remembering to be. It is not an accident. It's not unconscious, but it's consciously choosing to release and let go stories, narratives, identities, personas, job titles, and really intentionally discovering who you are. And I feel that for a lot of people, and myself included, there is sometimes that unintentional unraveling, like, oh, I tried this. I went with my logic versus my heart or what have you. And it brought me to the place of here, right? So I always feel like we're evolving, but I think that there's this beautiful essence of having this sense of choice in what we're evolving into or what we're stewarding forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting for me to think about the concept of surrender within the construct of intentional evolution, and especially being who I am, whatever that means, or believing whatever it is that I believe about myself and the world and my role in intentional evolution, because the way that I typically frame intentional evolution, I'm realizing in this moment, as we go on this discovery together, is in very active, very positive, very take ownership, take responsibility, exercise our intent, our will, our desire and choice to shape how we like to see this collective reality unfold. So my question to myself in this moment is, where does surrender come into that? Or how does surrender affect that? It's almost like the negative image of the positive concept that I've been carrying about intentional evolution since the phrase first occurred to me, which was about 5 or 6 years ago. So this is all very interesting to me. And yeah, I really like the framing that you put on it. And I'm curious, why did you choose surrender as the topic of our conversation, or why is that so alive for you right now?
I don't think we can evolve without surrender. We have to be able to find our truth within, and that is surrender. We have to see our highest vision and go after that. That's surrender. There's so many parts of ourselves that require surrender in order to become who we really want to be or who we're remembering to be. It's not just surrendering to the circumstances negatively in a way, or if like you're in a place right now where you're like, like this sucks at where I'm at and I have to surrender into it. It's also surrendering into what God, universe, source has given you as an opportunity to uphold a vision for yourself. And there's so many nuances of like what actually surrender is, but it's alive for me because I thought I had to be something, like, again, coming back to this identity of coach and what I thought I had to be. And that's who I was. I was so like in my mind, like, that's who I am. That's who I am. That's what I'm identifying as. And then when it started to just this little spark in my brain that was like, I don't know. And it brought me into a place of anger at first. And so I think for a lot of people on this path of intentional evolution, you have this idea that you're so attached to, we all do, of who I think I should be. And this is my title. This is what I do. This is how I make money. This is the type of relationships I want. But then you're faced with these circumstances in life that make you curious about what you attach to. And for my career over the last 6 years, it's been this deepening of surrender, deepening of who am I? What am I here to do? Who am I really? And getting curious about what my beliefs are. And with surrendering, it leads you to that next step. And so I'm so passionate about it because I wouldn't be where I'm at without the actual definition of surrender or what it actually entails to fully surrender.
Yeah, fascinating. When we start to think about intentional evolution and this path of personal development or spiritual development, self-improvement, it always seems to inherently suggest that there is a goal, that there's a future state of me, that I look different, or there's a way in which I want to evolve, to transform. And surrender is sort of inherently the opposite of that. It's sort of like there's a yin yang, there's a positive negative polarity, there's a binary, it almost feels like, between I know exactly where I'm going, I'm self-motivated, and I'm getting myself there, versus I have no control in this situation. Mm. Or I choose to release my control. I choose to. Now, the word power is going to come up, and I want to explore that in a minute. I was going to say, I choose to release my power, but maybe that's actually not necessarily what surrender is about. But you did bring up that classic sense or feeling that we get from surrender, which is, I have lost. I capitulate. The battle is over. I didn't win. Or I choose to stop fighting, whatever that is. There's a conflict orientation to it sometimes. So yeah, to me, that's just very interesting when you say that surrender is a part of intentional evolution, or surrender is a part of evolution in general, an evolutionary process. And I like that because it's sort of giving space to that which we don't know, that which we can't predict, that which comes from somewhere other than ourself, a power higher than ourself, like you were saying. I don't know, am I picking up what you're putting down?
Yeah, I love what you're sharing on the unknowing definition in the spiritual context of surrender, because it's not giving up your power. It's actually leaning into the sensations, the subtleties. And I want to go into that a little bit, because what I've noticed with surrender, and also just reading a fantastic book, Letting Go, Pathway to Surrender by Dr. David Hawkins, one of my biggest spiritual teachers over the last 6 years as well. And what he shares a lot is this essence of letting go isn't actually like letting go of a dream or letting go of a aspiration. It's letting go of the sensations and the emotions that you're feeling in the moment that are actually creating the suffering. Surrendering is actually about letting go of the suffering. And I think all of us that are listening to this can at least say at least once, probably more, that when we're on this path of devoting ourselves to vision, devoting ourselves to our desires, there's going to be roadblocks. And then you get that moment of, what do I do? Do I surrender into this? And a lot of people are like, I don't want to surrender. I don't want to let go. Like, I have this vision. Why would I let that go? But surrender is actually this essence of the attachment of how you're getting there and the sensations, the emotions. And it's like, how do we allow ourselves to feel into the sensation, into the emotion that's actually creating the suffering? It's that. And I've noticed with myself, the more that I detach this logical pathway, I'm going to get A, B, C here, I'm here, versus our guidance system, which is spirit, God's source creator, bringing us into this specific pathway that we don't have conscious awareness of, and I don't think we're supposed to. I think that surrender brings us into a deeper devotion to ourselves and also our mission. And when we are so attached to the way that it looks, and then those outcomes, those feelings, we're missing the point. And when we allow ourselves to let go of how it's supposed to look and lean into what is the lesson here, because that lesson here that you think is the roadblock is actually probably the entry point into the next level of yourself, but you're not thinking it that way. So when you actually take apart this sense of surrender, I'm like mentally visioning this in my mind. So maybe a felt sense, envisioning the sense of seeing the roadblock as a challenge and anger and frustration and guilt and shame. It's like, what are all of those emotions actually saying about yourself? And can that be the pathway that you need to see, feel, touch, taste, move through to actually get to the goal. Maybe that part of it, it was there all along. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I've certainly had that experience a number of times in my life. I would guess almost everyone could relate to that experience of there's a goal, there's a destination, there's a dream, a vision, whatever. We're on a path, we're moving toward it, we're trying to get to it. And there's some resistance, some obstacle. There's just something that we eventually just, we run out of fight. And in that moment of quote unquote giving up or capitulating to the obstacle, a new path emerges. Something else presents itself, or there's some way that we realize that the actual act of relaxing in the situation, or choosing the path of inaction rather than action, or coming back to an open-mindedness about other paths or possibilities, that is the solution. And as you say, it may seem to have been there all along, but we couldn't get there until we gave up. And also, I think there's a school of thought that would say something along the lines of never give up, never surrender.
Mm.
Persistence will always overcome any obstacle, effort, resolve, discipline, whatever these words are. It's always possible to overcome an obstacle. Giving up is the path of quitting. That's the path of losing. That's demonstrating insufficient, oh, help me find the word here, insufficient dedication, I think maybe is the word I was looking for. It's like,
yeah,
you didn't want it enough. You
yeah,
didn't want
and
it
I don't
enough.
Believe that.
Yeah, and I'm just kind of surfacing different ideas or perspectives or viewpoints that people might have, and just sort of, I don't know, wanting to give honor to, there is a spirit of persistence which can be valuable.
But can you be persistent and still surrender?
That's a good question. Yeah. And what does that look like? And I think when we start to get into some of these spiritual wisdom, a lot of times we find paradoxes, don't we? We find somehow, yes, it's both form and emptiness. It's both desire and non-attachment. It's both persistence and surrender. Maybe, I don't know. What is surrender?
It's the sense of letting go, because when you're attached, there's the opposing is the suffering when you don't have the thing that you want. And the way that I would identify it is the sense of letting go of the attachment to the sensation, letting go of the attachment to the desire, letting go of the way that it's supposed to look. And it's not this act of failure or lack of discipline. I think that it's actually widening your capacity to almost have a bigger picture of what you're looking forward to, what have you. And when we allow ourselves to surrender to circumstances, surrender to what is, we're not giving up. It's more of this attunement to what our truth is in the moment, and allowing ourselves to have this sense of reverence for what we're feeling, of like, I'm angry, I'm grieving, I'm sad, I'm hurt. And it's like, how do we actually look at that as like, that's the suffering? It's not the suffering that I didn't get to the goal. It's the suffering of the emotions that are attached to the thing that I want. And I think that's a really interesting concept, especially with Dr. Hawkins talking a lot about that in his book. And it kind of tickles your brain a little bit, because you're like, wait, so if I actually allow myself to feel the feeling that I'm feeling, not suppress it, repress it, or change it, but feel it, then it goes away. So then I'm not suffering. And then you're like reorienting yourself to like, what does it actually mean to desire something? You know?
I really want to go down that rabbit hole, because desire is like a really big thing for me in my whole philosophy and the way of looking at the world. And I just want to explore surrender in the mainstream consciousness a little bit more on our way to that. because you've dropped a word a couple of times now, which is failure. I should have said, you've dropped an F-bomb. You've mentioned this word failure a few times. And I think that the way that we're taught about the concept of surrender in our culture attaches those two things together. Surrender equals failure.
Yeah. Or you're,
in a lot of ways,
you're not doing anything. You're just doing nothing.
Yeah. Or worse than that, it seems to me. And I know I keep kind of bringing it back to almost a military analogy, but I think I'm doing that because people have a lot of those conceptual attachments and associations to the term, which is to say to surrender means you have been beaten. It means, you know, it's almost like I have suffered harm, or I have suffered at least loss in some way. I have been dominated. I think people could have that association with surrender. But certainly failure, which is such a big block to us in our hustle culture and materialist paradigm, this type of economy, this type of society that we find ourselves in, that concept of failure is really heavy for a lot of people. It creates a lot of suffering, and it also creates a lot of disappointment, disillusionment, fear. So yeah, I just want to kind of break a lot of that, see if we can break some of that stuff down.
Yeah.
On our way to like, what is a different form of surrender that you and people like you and me and many others may have experienced through spiritual practice or medicine ceremony or these different ways that we've learned a different relationship with that word and with that concept that's actually got very positive connotations to it. But how do we shake off surrender as having been beaten, dominated, lost, or failed?
I think first it's looking at what it brings up within you. When we think about this attachment to these things or this sense of like, I failed and that means I'm bad. That means I suck. That means blah, 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 right? And what that's actually bringing in, it has nothing. It's almost like this interesting construct that I'm wrapping my brain around is this essence of surrender, getting to a goal, being something actually has no meaning until you give it because of the belief systems you have within yourself. And you're making this sense of suffering, failure, I'm this, I'm weak, I'm blah, 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 meaning something because of the attachment to it. It's not the actual thing of itself. And what we're doing when we're really debunking surrender and having more of a broader spectrum, or making room, I should say, for a broader spectrum and perspective of surrender, is really looking at the feelings that that brings up within you. And can you lean into that? Can you feel those? Can you create a sense of, dare I say it, comfort with the uncomfort? And when you allow yourself to look at what's blocking you, the sense of failure, lack of dedication, I'm not cut out for this sort of jargon that comes up. It's, what is my association with failure? What is my association with being bad or being weak? And when you can actually get into the depth of that, that's where you start to open your mind to say, oh, this is not what this means. I'm not bad. It's just, I'm leaning into more of myself in a way. And it's making me think about, to me, the depth of surrender when you're in medicine ceremony, for example, because you can't escape it. You can escape your life. You can numb out. When you're in medicine ceremony, leaning into the edge of surrender, you can't go anywhere. And you're in your mind. And the medicine has really taught me this sense of, like, it's really helped me create a different perspective of surrender, because it's, how do I be with the discomfort? How do I be with the emotions and the sensations and the aggravation that I might feel to like not be able to change the channel in a way? And I relate that a lot to what I've experienced, many others, with this sense of failure or surrendering and you got dominated, right? And it's like, there's so much to learn when you see your relationship with the sensations attached to those words that the negative connotation surrender can bring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really interesting for me in particular. Earlier in the conversation, you brought up the word anger, and you talked about like having this experience of almost like there's a process sometimes to getting to surrender. And maybe what we're talking about here is how we can shortcut that process and what that looks like and the usefulness of that. But there can be like a process of getting there, which is at first there's the fight part. Mm-hmm. There's the
resistance.
Yeah. And that can feel like anger. That could feel like frustration. That can feel like these different emotions that, in my opinion and like frame of reference, are useful to us as a form of gathering energy, gathering motivational force to face a problem or a challenge to resolve it. That's sort of how I think of what anger is for, or these other associated emotions. But then in medicine ceremony, to your point, you can get angry all you want.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say that there's not an aspect of self-control that we can have, and that there's not an aspect of choosing our own adventure or co-creating our own experience. And also, there's times when surrender is the only option. And like, I can say that for myself, that in and of itself has been a really useful lesson. There is some medicine in that, weirdly. Mm-hmm. There is some medicine yeah. just in that act of surrender that I have found for myself, where when I get to that point where I've given up the fight and I finally do just relax into the experience of whatever it is that's happening, I can be completely amazed and completely surprised the ways which my experience suddenly changes, and new experience or new information or something much, much richer unfolds from the moment. The fight itself, it's almost like the resistance
of control.
The resistance to the experience mm-hmm. that's happening to us
yeah.
is constricting our ability to actually receive it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, and I guess the whole point of me sharing this like anecdote is to say that I'm a classic fighter, you know? I will resist to the bitter end. And
same,
it's like, I'm
yeah.
so grateful.
We're so
to,
used to that.
I'm so grateful to, in particular, for example, ayahuasca,
mm-hmm.
for helping me to learn that surrender, for helping to teach me how to surrender to a moment and then bring that back into my life when I would just like to have the experience of being more alive.
So can we apply that to just the definition of surrender?
Yeah. How would you do that?
Exactly what you said. I think it's like a homecoming when you can create this relationship with surrender and open your perspective to saying, it can help me become more alive. It can help me loosen the grip of control and to acknowledge that anything in front of me, I have the capacity to hold. Because I think for a lot of us, we resist it because of the emotions. We're afraid to feel the fear. We're fearing the fear. We're fearing the resistance. We're fearing the emotional pain of what surrender looks like, because
right.
we don't think that we have the capacity to hold it and move on.
Right. And I think we fear whatever is on the other side of that surrender,
yep.
which is actually a figment of our imagination. There may or may not be consequences to surrendering. We may or may not accurately predict them sometimes. But what's definitely for sure is that we create a picture of that in our mind, an imagination, a prediction. And that is the thing that is causing us suffering prior to the surrender.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's my intention with this conversation, is to widen your capacity to hold a new perspective, what surrender can look like for yourself and your life. And I know for me, like in the beginning of 2025, so beginning of this year, I had this whole perception, like I had a huge, like last fall was like the biggest financial part of my career consistently. And then it was like started to taper off and then started to go downhill. And I took it so personal and I was like, what does this mean? And I sat with ayahuasca last summer of 2024. And so the calling of you're here to serve ayahuasca. This is your path. You've been chosen to this. You are a medicine woman. And I'm like, I got home and I'm like, how do I fit that into coaching? What do I do? Do I start, you know, and I'm like, my brain's going everywhere, right? I'm excited, but also like kind of like overwhelmed of like, what do I do with that? And so as the tapering off in the beginning of this year, and I really had to resource myself, I had to lean into the sense of surrender more than I ever have, because what was working stopped working. And I was really frustrated because of all the things, right? I was so attached to it working before, attached to the clients, attached to the all the things, right? And so when I leaned into it, it brought me into a void. It brought me into blank slate of like, you are nothing right now. Nothing. Who do you get to be? And I had so much resistance and a lot of battling of who I should be and what hat do I put on now. And it's almost like when you're stripped bare of everything that like you've resourced everything, you've done all the things in the past that have worked before, you're getting creative and it's still not working. You're in a deep state of letting go. You're in a deep state of attachment or releasing attachment. And the beauty of that, when I released more and more and more of like, okay, I'm not coaching anymore. I'm throwing that word out. I am not doing programs anymore at the time. I'm throwing that out. I'm not making money the way that I used to. I'm throwing that out, right? All of these identities and personas and awards that I had, if in a way, started to just like flush out and I was blank. It gave me an opportunity to sit with the discomfort, which again, alluding to what you were sharing in the medicine ceremonies, the sense of surrendering into the moment and then finding the bliss on the other side to come back into aliveness. And if I didn't surrender and if I pushed, I could have totally pushed. I could have totally pushed. I could have got a loan. I could have hired another business coach. I could have done so many things. But there was a little voice that was like, I think you should do nothing. And I was like, oh, you know, like my inner Capricorn is like, don't do nothing, right? And like, I'm just such a masculine driven person when it comes to work. And so leaning into that and all the things. So basically it broke me down into nothing so that I could really find myself in the becoming. Like again, like taking those puzzle pieces of like, that actually feels resonant. Oh, I've done that before and that feels really alive for me. I'm going to bring that in and that in. And then it brought me into where I'm at now. And then all of a sudden, my friend was like, I'm holding an Akashic record container and I'm going to help you open the records. All I knew was I want to connect more with spirit on a deeper level. I don't have to sit in ayahuasca ceremonies or mushroom ceremonies and to connect. And then everything just was like, this is why you couldn't do this. You had to be here. But if I was pushing and still in that resistance, I don't know if I would, I think I would have prevented. I mean, even though I think we're always on path, but I think I would have potentially prolonged. So I think me getting here and feeling so rooted in myself and doing the work that I'm doing now that is feeling effortless. It's like, oh, so surrender is good.
I like that word that you dropped at the very end there, effortless. That's surrender. That's effortless. You know, yeah. I wrote down some words when I was kind of thinking about this, the different ways that we resist surrender. And I kind of realized, I think that there's something about the nervous system relaxation of surrender. There's something about like when we're at the moment, when we come to, when our body, our spirit and our consciousness comes to the moment of acceptance. I think there's a big connection between acceptance and surrender. When we accept that we will die, in that moment, we may believe we are about to die. And accept it. And there's a state of nervous system relaxation that we can eventually find, which is where we stop fighting, we accept it, and then everything becomes very peaceful. And so I wrote down the words fight, flight, freeze, and fawn, because I feel like these are our nervous system responses. These are our survival instincts, right? This is like our survival strategy, not exactly strategies, but we may call them strategies in the evolutionary sense.
Yeah.
But instincts, almost reflexes. And they're all sort of different ways of trying to preserve our life, or they're all sort of different ways that we still could win. I'll fight it off, anger. I'll run away, fear. I'll freeze, which I don't
know. Shut down.
Yeah. Well, freeze. So this is the point I was about to make, actually. I think there might be a fifth, because it seems to me that freeze is not exactly identical to shut down. It seems to me that it's more of a state of
shock,
high alert, but where the strategy is to disappear, to become invisible. And it occurred to me that maybe the emotional energetic signature to that is shame, potentially. The instinct to want to disappear, to not be seen. This is probably an imperfect mapping. I'm sort of like roughing this out. But yeah, if we've got fight, flight, anger, fear, freeze, shame, still tense. There's a tension to it. There's a hypervigilance to it. I don't think it's exactly surrender. Even fawn, the strategy or the impulse is to get you to like me, or to somehow seduce you, or to, in some way, I'm going to remove the threat by befriending you.
Mm-hmm.
That's
people
another way.
Pleasing.
I think,
yeah.
Befriend, I think, is another way that sometimes people frame these survival instincts. I'm not sure exactly what emotional signature that may have, but for now, it's not super important. A friend of mine suggested that there may be a fifth word, which is fold. And that maybe is the state of surrender. Maybe that is it's not a survival strategy, or maybe it is a survival strategy, because by going into that relaxed state, you know, it's sometimes maybe called playing dead, something along those lines. Going into a completely fully relaxed state is a way of surviving, or at minimum, it's a way of going into a state of acceptance and relieving the suffering. So I was just bringing that up, just like thinking of like these different ways that we can resist the act of surrender, and then putting surrender kind of on that list. And I think I've basically said everything I want to say, and there's no real better way to wrap it up than that.
I love that. What came to mind intuitively was folding is like a bow of like, thank you. Like, I'm here to actually, I think it's a thriving strategy.
I love
can
that.
Can I fold? Can I lean into, can I melt into my circumstance and just relax into this is actually happening for me? How, instead of trying to figure it out logically, can I just be with all of my small parts, all of my voices, all of my inner protectors that are coming out right now? And can I just befriend them? Can I just like let them hang out for a bit instead of like pushing them away? Like, to me, that's like a folding in to like, I'm here. And I noticed this actually, it's making me think about when I was facilitating a mushroom journey, what came up was so many of those flight or fights of like, oh my gosh, I'm going through a journey. Is that bad? Is that wrong? Am I doing it right? Should I sit here? Like, so many things. And I'm like, whoa, like, I got to get it together. And I'm like, do I have to get it together? What does that actually mean? I'm like, I'm in non-duality right now. And so I was like processing a little bit with my facilitator, but then I was like, no, I think I need to be with myself for a bit. And he's like, okay, I got the space, go do your thing. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, me thinking about it and obsessing about it and being annoyed by it is actually just exacerbating it. What if I just was like, okay, I feel too much. Okay, I'm doing it wrong. Okay, I'm doing it wrong. I'm going to lean into that doing it wrong. And then it was just like that voice of doing it wrong turned into this part that like when I was, you know, younger and all the things, that story. And then it was like, I can see why I think I'm doing it wrong. I have compassion for that part. It alchemized. It was gone. I was like, oh. So, and then it was like this whole journey I went on. And I'm bringing that into this because this sense of folding into, I'm surrendering into all of my stuff right now and also being a facilitator. What do I do with that? Can I just fold into like all the things that are just in front of me? And what I learned through that, what the medicine helped me teach is that we just create more space for those parts? Can we create more space? And that act of surrender led me into the best facilitation I've ever had, quote, by the clients. So I'm like, oh, so leaning in instead of fearing it, shoving it down, acting like I got all my stuff together 24/7. That's the resistance to not being all of you. And that brings me to another thing that's coming up is I think surrender is an act of being all of you.
Is that like another way of saying accepting?
Yeah.
All of your parts.
Yeah. I don't know if this plays into this, but it's coming up. A friend the other day, we were in like a sisterhood circle and she set her intention or something. And she was like, I don't need to grow anymore. I'm already fully at my evolution. I just need to like let go and surrender to all the stories to just embody that. And I was just like, whoa, that tickled my brain because all this time we're just like, again, like I'm reaching for the goal. I'm not there yet. I need to learn more. I need to grow more. I need to do it faster versus what if I'm already there? I just need to like cut the bullshit out or make a space for them to all exist. And I just thought that was a really fascinating perspective of growth and yeah, and our inner ability to accept all of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a trap, a self-improvement trap, which is this. It's weirdly paradoxical. We play so many games with I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then that turns into another I'm not good enough. I'm never good enough because I'm always in a state of improvement.
Mm-hmm.
But the paradox to hold there, I think, is, yeah, we're always there. We're always there. We're always wherever we are now. And that is fine. And it can be the case that there's some things that we'd like to do. It can be the case that there's some growing we want to do from this point. It could be the case that there's some letting go we want to do. It could be the case that there's some accepting or integrating of ourselves that we want to do. I think the trap is falling victim to a one right way concept of, oh, well, if you're not always growing, then you're somehow not, you know, to use your phrase, not doing it right. You're not always evolving, you're not doing it right. If you're not always transforming, you're not doing it right, et cetera. And so, yeah, I think there's a state of self-acceptance, which is also like a state of surrender to the fact that I am always going to be a work in progress and I am also the best I've ever been.
Yeah.
Right. Or like I am wherever I am now. Yes. I'm actualized in my current state, at my current age, at my current level, whatever. So yeah, I think there's just so many beautiful paradoxes to all of this. And one of them is, I love how you reframed fold. That's really cool. I had never thought about that before. And I want to reflect that back to other people that I've workshopped this fight, flight, freeze, fawn, fold thing with. The folding as a visual metaphor to a bow, to bowing in gratitude, because that was something that was coming up for me earlier in our conversation that I wanted to touch on is like in that state of surrender, in those states of surrender, when I've allowed myself to fold, to fully relax into what was happening, to accept the experience, I have found some of the most profound states of gratitude in those moments that I've ever had. And it's been such a teacher for me in, again, how that gratitude itself is a medicine for our suffering as well. Acceptance and gratitude and surrender,
they release suffering.
They're somehow strongly connected.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you were speaking about that and you're like, maybe that is a survival strategy of the person just like I envision someone laying on the floor and just like letting go and just allowing. And I was like, no, that's thriving. That is when I'm still attached and I'm working on attachment, but we are attached to our pain. We're attached to the emotions. Like I'm angry, so therefore I'm going to find something angry in the world. I'm frustrated, so I'm going to go, my brain's going to go find an example of that frustration. When you're folding in or leaning in to the essence of surrender, you're not attached. You're like, I'm allowing my emotions to just be. I don't have an attachment to them. That to me is the bliss state. And that's really hard to be in. until you maybe go through something and you're like, again, you know, the folks that are listening that have done medicine journeys, you know what we're talking about in the sense of surrender, right? Because you can't let go of what you're moving through or change the channel. You have to just fully like melt in of like frustration and anger or fear and all these different things. I mean, gosh, so many moments I've had and I'm like, okay, what is this teaching me? Can I let the sensation just be present in my body without making a meaning towards it? And I think as humans, we're so attached to making meanings, or it's like, well, again, we can't hold all of ourselves. We can't hold all of our capacity, or we haven't been taught yet. So I think folding into the sense of surrender is just a beautiful description of like what it could look like by bowing into it and saying, okay, be my teacher. Okay, I'm going to just lay on the floor and just allow all the sensations, all the anger, and just not make a meaning of it. And just be like, I'm experiencing anger right now versus I am angry.
Yeah.
That concept.
Yeah, I love that. I love the reframe of our emotions as an experience versus as an identity. That's really great. And I love this theme that we're kind of exploring right now about surrendering, the concept of surrender as it applies to our emotions. And I think you're so right that we somehow, sometimes, many times, fall in love with our suffering for some reason.
We benefit from it. It's an identity.
We must be getting something from it, right? But also that concept of surrendering to our emotions is one of the most powerful transformational tools that we have in our repertoire. Feelings felt fully, finally finish. So when we relax and when we surrender and just allow our emotions to be present with us and to actually just experience them, they move. The energy can move.
They alchemize. And I feel for a lot of people, pain to purpose, pain to power. Like there's a reason why those are paired together, because when you allow yourself to fully feel all of yourself or feel pain or the small parts, inner protectors that are coming up, they eventually will alchemize into your power, into this confidence and ability to accept all of yourself, right? And they shift and I'm still navigating what that actually looks like. I know I felt it, but I'm learning how to name it in that way, but it's an alchemization of like, I don't belong, whatever the stories are, into, okay, if I just accept that I don't belong, what is that? Instead of not making a meaning, just like I'm experiencing abandonment right now. And it's like when we can not attach to those, we're surrendering into those and then accepting it more of ourselves. And then it removes the shame that it had over us and turns into power, like our own sovereignty of personal power.
Yeah. And it's the act of fighting, it's the act of resisting, kind of like what I was describing before with medicine ceremony or even just present moment awareness, just allowing the richness of the moment to actually unfold and to receive the richness, the aliveness of the moment, right?
Yeah.
We clamp down on that in the same way that we clamp down on our feelings, our emotions. And by relaxing, by choosing not to fight or not to resist them, but rather choosing to welcome them, to experience them, and to just actually have them, they change. To your point about alchemy, they move through, they dissipate, the experience itself evolves, or in some way we receive some benefit. You know, I really believe that about our emotional states. I believe that they're all here for us. I believe that they are forms of communication and forms of information, and they're all useful. You know, there's a lot of characterization of emotional states as positive or negative.
Yeah, I don't believe that any of them
are negative. Yeah, I wanted to ask you what you thought about that.
Yeah, I really agree with what you're saying. I mean, anyone right now that's listening, think about what emotions come up as negative for you. Shame, anger, guilt. And imagine if you didn't have, like, I bet right now you're actually thinking about certain situations or experiences you've had that have created your shame, your guilt, your anger that you have yet to deal with, or you don't think it's important. I mean, I know I have had many shameful things that have happened years ago that I'm like, that doesn't matter. But then it gets brought up. And then when I sit with it and it's like it brought in a whole new layer of myself that I didn't know was created from that experience. Instead of shaming it, I actually brought it into acceptance, surrendering that that happened to me. And then it turned into part of the work that I'm doing, for example. So when we're talking about this category of positive or negative emotions, I think that there is so much to learn about the quote-unquote negative ones, the shame, the guilt, the anger, the apathy. And I know that they're lower vibrational, but it's because people don't know how to actually understand them. And I think that as humans, what we don't know, we run from or hide from. So when we can allow ourselves to feel into those sensations, they start to dissipate. And there's another layer of like the benefit of staying in those emotions. But my lived experience has been the more that I feel and give permission for my anger, there's a story that I need to hear or something to learn from it. Shame is a big one for so many people. And when you stop shaming yourself for feeling shame is one of them. And you can lean into the actual situation that caused the shame and understand the story that created the idea of shame and go into that and release that or heal that, the shame disappears. And you're like, oh, okay, this is why this was here. So I don't believe that there's a negative emotion because they all have something to teach us. And we just grew up societally through social norms and behaviors and all the things that like those were bad. And depending on how we grew up, like my mom was like, don't cry, get your shit together. Like almost like get more angry than you would be sad.
Yeah.
Anger is okay, but being sad, you're weak. You can't be weak. And it really created this emotional unavailability for my feelings. So then when I grew up, I created this story that I developed codependency and people pleasing a lot because of the fear of abandonment, of like emotionally abandoning and then physically. And I have to retrain myself that like it's okay to be all of these things and let people see all these things, because that doesn't mean that they're going to leave or what have you. So it's just such a fascinating conversation to have around negative and positive, when really like those aren't even your beliefs. Those are just what people have created for you. And then you create a category for yourself. And then that just creates shame. And then you just don't accept yourself. So you can't surrender into who you actually are.
Mm-hmm. Well, the way you're talking about it, you're using some sort of terms and descriptions that suggests that, okay, we have some emotion that we may not prefer, that may feel unpleasant or feel like suffering, such as shame or sadness. And we can do certain things with that until it goes away. And what I'm curious to know is like, what's the usefulness of shame just in and of itself? Why do we have it? You know, it's so the reason I ask that is, again, from an evolutionary perspective, but just generally as an observer of the world, life, reality, it doesn't strike me as likely that we as creatures have just been saddled with these burdensome, problematic experiences that are triggered very frequently in our life. It seems to me that they're here for some reason that's actually helpful to us. What do you think that could be for something like shame?
Mm. Shame is here to teach us unconditional love for ourselves. If I am fat shaming myself, body shaming, that means I don't love myself unless if I look a certain way. If I loved all of myself, what would that mean? Well, that means that I would have more capacity for being more confident, more charismatic, maybe finding the right partner, whatever. And so I think all of these emotions have an attachment. It's like Dr. David Hawkins wrote a book called Transcending Levels of Consciousness. And every emotion has a certain consciousness frequency attached. And then there's a opposition of it. So I'm riffing on what my perspective of it. But to me, the opposing or the opposition of shame is really unconditional love. Like, how do you love yourself and like release this sense of like who you should have been or what you should have done in that instance? And anger, I think, is the sense of reclaiming like your wholeness and like allowing the sense of anger to be a part of a desire. Like, I almost feel like the opposition of anger is desire in a way. And I think all of these emotions have like guilt also is a self-acceptance. And also this, wouldn't say self-righteousness, but like self-belonging of like, I feel so strongly in what I have to say that I'm going to let go the guilt of how that makes someone else feel, right? It's like, how can I belong to myself? So all to say, I believe all of these emotions have an imposing positive teaching moment that we need to evolve. We need to be able to love ourselves unconditionally. We need to be able to stand up for our truth and our beliefs, no matter if that affects somebody else, and allow ourselves to be the full spectrum and not hold guilt over that or what have you. And so I think all of these emotions have, they play a significant role into consciously evolving. What's your thought?
My thoughts at this stage of my development, I think our emotions are a really important internal compass, internal calibration system to help us get our needs met, to help us survive, thrive, experience abundance, richness, you know, in our lives. And I think they're also tools that we have for moving energy in specific kinds of ways. Like, I think that anger is a tool that we can use to harness and gather energy and concentrate and focus it in very specific ways when we need to or want to accomplish a certain goal. I think fear can be a way of also gathering energy to put things into motion. I wouldn't say oppositional to anger, but a different way of moving energy that's not directly confronting an obstacle, but finding a way to put energy in motion in a way that accomplishes a goal or removes a problem. I think shame can be a way that we move energy in a relational way with the collective, with the group, to learn how to come into right relationship with each other in ways that help us mutually get our needs met. Guilt, likewise, I think can be a teacher for us in helping us to receive reflection of how our actions, what impact our actions have on others. So yeah, that's the way I think of it. And so I think that I could imagine a state of being, I don't embody that state of being in this moment, but I could imagine a state of being where these emotions, none of these emotions feels bad.
Mm.
They just feel like different flavors.
Yeah. And you're just like neutral to them in a way.
Yeah.
In a way.
Or at least
accepting.
None of them causes me to suffer. Let's say. You know, I might feel anger energy, and it might feel a certain way. It might feel hot. It might feel, it's not neutral. It's got characteristics to it. It might feel hard. It might feel strong. There might be different aspects of that experience, but it's just a type of experience. And I'm in a sort of a relationship with it where it's like, I don't know, the relationship that I have with a hammer or a screwdriver or a saw, they're different. I kind of understand what each of them is used for. And I wouldn't use one particular one all the time, but I don't have a negative association with any of them. I can sort of imagine having that and being in that state. And I sort of imagine that this state that we're in now, or that we kind of generally collectively experience, is merely a dysfunctional expression of our emotions, our emotional states, where, like, when I look at other creatures, non-human animals, for example, in nature, I imagine that they have internal experiences that are analogous to a lot of our emotions, but they don't suffer in them. And I sort of imagine that there was a time, a period in our past where it was like that too. We didn't suffer in them. Even if we felt fear and we'd run away from an obstacle, it was just a part of being alive, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I think about it.
Yeah. And it's like, can we come back to that sense of it's just a part of being alive? Like, that actually is your aliveness.
Yeah.
It's not just this ecstasy, blissful state. It's actually being able to feel all of your stuff.
Right.
That's aliveness. And that is really useful for us. And it's teaching moments. It's just, oh, I'm allowing myself to feel that. And I think that's that sense of surrender and self-acceptance that we're creating a theme for, because when you're able to feel all of yourself, you can surrender more into moments, right? Like circumstantial moments that are just like my career is not working. What do I do? Or my finances or my relationship. And it's like, can I just not be attached to what I'm feeling, but also have reference for what I'm feeling? I don't know. I think that that can bring us farther quicker in a way. Maybe that is a part of evolution, is to be able to surrender into your emotions and be with them, allow them to have the characteristics and the flavor, but not attach the shame to having the emotion. I'm experiencing shame right now. I'm experiencing embarrassment. I'm experiencing anger. Okay. Let me just be with it.
Yeah. And a process could look something like, of course, we're intellectualizing this heavily because we're in the middle of a podcast and, you know, in an emotional experience, it may be more challenging to adopt this as a reflex, but the process could be something along the lines of, I'm experiencing embarrassment right now. And that is true. That is true for me. What does this embarrassment have to tell me? How is actually even a better question? How is this embarrassment here to help me? What can I do with this embarrassment? Or what would this embarrassment like for me to do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like literally having a relationship with the emotion. But coming at the emotion from a starting perspective of non-judgment, curiosity, and possibly even a bias to, there's probably likely something good here. There's probably something valid here. There's probably something useful.
There's a reason why it's here.
Right. Whereas I think probably a big part of the reason why we suffer so much with our emotions is because we don't surrender with them, to them, into them, and instead we fight them. We judge them as wrong.
It's wrong.
Yeah, wrong. I shouldn't be feeling, I shouldn't be angry right now. That's not allowed.
Right.
And then, well, where do I put all this energy?
Yep.
It's just, you know, I just have to hold it, or it burns me up, or.
And then that, to me, is the definition of surrendering, of like, I'm going to let go. I'm just going to be with it. And I feel that is a sense of letting go. It's not playing victim to your circumstances. It's not failing. It's not shaming yourself, but it's the sense of, can I allow all the sensations to just be, and also be with my disappointment, be with it? But can I learn to detach from the emotion, or the, I'm looking for the word, not desire, but this like connection to it. That's what we're not surrendering to, the connection to the thing, connection to the shame, connection to not this launch flopping or whatever. It's not that thing that actually happened. It's what we made of it that we're mad at, or we're frustrated with, or we can't lean into. It's like the relationship we have with anger, or again, if like a circumstance happened or a breakup happened, we're not actually upset about the breakup. We're actually upset about what it means about us that we can't lean into, whatever it was, right? It's just like that's why I keep doing this with figures, because I'm thinking of like, this is who we are. This is what we want. And like, it's the path getting there is what we're attached to.
I love this conversation. This is really interesting for me. And so there's a different piece I kind of want to explore, if you're open to going on another little side adventure with me.
Let's go.
Is it possible to surrender too much?
Like, let me sit with that. That's a good question. I think it's the intentionality around it. And then the paradox in like my other part of my brain is like, aren't we surrendering every day? Aren't we surrendering every day? Because not everything goes our way. So is the act of surrender actually what helps us thrive, versus if we surrender too much? I think it's the intentionality around it, of what surrender actually can look like for you. Again, really breaking this sense of like, work's not happening, I'm just going to surrender and lay in my bed all day. I'm not going to, like, that's not surrender. Surrender is, okay, what's here? What can I learn? Do I need to go to a different route, instead of maybe trying to figure it out? I'm just being with all of it and then allowing the next step. It's being intentionally driven with the surrender piece. So if it's that, then yeah, we should be surrendering every day, all day.
Wait a second. Why is that? I give up. I'm just going to lay in my bed and not even try to go to work anymore. Why is that not surrender? Is that a form of surrender, or is that something different altogether? Is that just quitting as compared to surrender?
Oh, that's so interesting, because there's a part of me that is like, I really think it comes down to the intentionality, because it could be a part of the surrender process. And I actually had, I was working with a shadow worker quite a few years ago. And I remember something of like, we're so afraid to do the thing. Like we're feeling depressed. We're afraid that if we actually lean into the depression, we're going to be in bed for the rest of our lives. But actually there is like a intensity that our body goes through, and then that intensity settles. It's like that 90 seconds, if you allow your emotion to fully amplify, it only lasts for 90 seconds of that intensity. So same principle here of if you lean into it, so if like work's not working and you're like, I just need to be in it, there's gonna be a time where your body's like, okay, we're done. But we don't give ourselves that opportunity because we're resisting the actual desire. So, and I'm like, okay, how does that come back into your question? Because—
Do you get the spirit of my question? I mean, it is about that case study, that example of like,
okay,
I'm just going to surrender all the time, surrender all day, every day. I surrender this, I surrender that. Like, is there a form of bypassing, I guess?
Yeah, that, totally. That's what I think I was sharing without saying the word bypassing, yeah, of like the intentionality behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could totally be a sense of bypassing. Then you're too much in your feminine and you don't have the masculine to actually like take action. And that to me is like a follower versus a leader, where you're just, I'm just going to be with what's happening. I'm just going to go to work. I'm just going to take this job. I'm just going to say yes to this person. I'm just going to like fall into these experiences or whatever. And then you're not really in control of your life. You're surrendering. You're really just, you're not an active participant. And to actually have the positivity, or the actual definition I think you and I have talked about, like bowing into it, folding into the sense of surrender, you're being an active participant.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't necessarily look like doing something, but there's action being happened, whether it's alchemy in some form.
Okay. Surrender is an act. Interesting.
Because
It's funny that you said that, because I was just about to ask you, based on what you were saying, so is action the opposite of surrender? Are they like binaries? But no, surrender can be very active.
Yeah. And I'm coming back to my lived experience. So for example, I was living in Dallas before moving to Austin. And when I was looking at everything, and I'm like, I could continue to try to build my business here. I could try to continue finding my friend groups, or I can surrender into like, this isn't for me. And I'm going to actively figure out what that is. I'm going to wait for the sign. And then someone somehow was like, hey, I live in Austin. Oh, I actually am close to Austin. Okay, maybe I should go visit Austin. Lean into that. Surrendering into like, this might not be for me, but I want to explore. There's a thread here. Got back and I was like, Austin's for me. And that surrender piece, if I was so grappling to this idea that I needed to stay in Dallas for whatever reason, I need to figure it out. Things were kind of working. Maybe I should continue focusing that versus leaning into the resistance that was placed there, that like, there might be something better for me. And I want to lean into what that looks like. And then I moved my life in March of 2025 to Austin. And then also when I got here, for example, I was working with a coach, and then we were working on a program that, again, I was kind of sharing, was like, I don't feel like I'm a coach anymore. What does that mean? I got to lean into that. And it was a sense of internal exploration and doing things every day that made me fulfill some sort of exploration of that sense of desire, but not being attached to what it was. And then it was all of a sudden, again, my friend was like, I'm holding this Akashic container. And I was like, okay, that's a yes for me. And I just surrendered into that. I never in a million years thought I would be doing Akashic readings. And here I am. So to me, surrender is an action of devotion to, I'm going to figure it out. I don't know what it looks like. I'm going to let go of the pathways, but I'm going to figure it out. It might be today. It might be in a year. Whoa, can I let go of that timeline? That helped me a lot. Just be present. Letting go of like, in 3 months, I'm going to have it figured out. No, it actually might be 6 months. Girl, it might be 3 years. How do you feel about that? And then like being with those discomfort sensations helped me lean into like, I'm actually where I'm supposed to be right here, right now. So it's, to me, it's a skill and it's just a practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a perfect lead in to another place I wanted to get to, which is also weirdly, we're doing it in the moment, or I am doing it in the moment. I surrendered to, at some point, we're going to get around to this topic. And we did. And the topic, ironically enough, is exactly that, to surrender to the process while not knowing the details,
yeah,
or allowing allowing it to be okay that I've set an intention. I do have a goal. I do have a destination in mind. And I'm not going to try to control every single aspect of what that actually even looks like or how precisely we get there. And I think that comes back around to me to a pin that I dropped way early in the conversation that I wanted to come to, which is the relationship of desire to surrender. And to like open that up, I just want to share a little bit about what this surrendering to the process and surrendering some of the details, how deeply I believe in that because of everything I've experienced and seen through my practice of manifestation and especially these manifestation ceremonies that I've led over these past 4 years or so, and how that's such an important part of it, where what we do is crystallize an intent. We get in touch with our desire. We allow that desire to paint a picture, which is extremely detailed, which has a lot of specifics associated to it. But what's super important is not to attach. That picture is sort of like an energetic frequency, or it is something that we can use our imagination to look forward to that helps to get us into that activated motion. But then we allow for the surprise of how is exactly these things going to show up. And there's something, again, it's not exactly a paradox, but it's a balance that we keep talking about and touching on and coming back to over and over again. It's this surrender, but while being active, it's yes, my dream of such and such relationship will manifest. I believe in it. I've cast a vision for it. I am in motion toward it. I'm taking steps and allowing things to move in a direction. And I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know exactly who it's going to be that shows up. I don't know the specifics. I'm intentionally allowing to surprise me. I'm intentionally creating space. I'm surrendering my ability to entirely determine my reality. So it's like a relationship between myself and the rest of the universe, a relationship between myself and reality, where that act of surrender is actually a necessary component of the reciprocity between my intentions and what it is that I would actually like to receive. And I guess the whole point of, I feel like I went on a little bit long-winded on that, but the whole point of that is in that act of surrendering to the details, the magic, and many times actually the comedy, is in what those details actually turn out to be in whatever time frame and in whatever situation that is that they show up, when you then recognize that that is the intention that I set. This is the reality that I created for myself. And I had no idea it was going to look like this, but here it is. I got what I asked for. So that being said, what do you think about desire and surrender? I think there's another sense in which people might look at those as opposites or somehow in conflict or competition with each other. But what do you think?
So I'm curious what your thought is. I heard this and it stuck with me, and there feels a discernment in my body. And I'm curious for you, and then I'll get into that because I think it plays into it. Have you heard of, there's a difference between believing and just knowing?
I haven't heard this.
Okay. Does that feel different in your body? I believe it versus I know.
Yeah, totally. Totally, okay. Feels different.
So to me, a desire in the act of surrender has to have that just knowing. I know I'm going to be a millionaire. I know that I'm going to be leading ayahuasca retreats, whatever. It's just a knowing. So then I surrender to how I'm going to get there versus I have to believe, I have to remind myself that this is going to happen. There's effort and then there's suffering. And then you can't surrender into getting to the desire because you're still believing it versus knowing it. I think that's where our work really begins. Or you got to really get clear on what that desire actually is, if it's actually a desire or an egoic drive. So I think in the sense of surrender, yeah, you have to be able to surrender into how you're going to get there. Because like you said, then you just are like, oh my God, I'm here. Like thinking about moving to Austin, all the things I've created just being here for 7 months. And I'm like, I'm almost like, how? But I'm also like, wait, I know how I did this. I set the intention. I was very clear on what I wanted. And I went out and I surrendered and how it was going to happen. But I had the very specific intention. This is what I wanted. And I was like, just knowing it was going to happen versus believing things. And I just felt different about things that I've believed in. And then the sense of believing creates this resistance to getting there versus a knowing is I'm just so accepting how I'm going to get there, who I'm going to be when I'm there. It's just inevitable. And I don't care when it happens. It's not that you don't care. It's that you're non-attached because it's just a knowing. And it could be 3 months. It could be 6 months. It could be 3 years. And I'm curious within myself in a way of how I've created that inner knowing versus a belief. And I think the beliefs are more affecting our how we grew up, ancestral generational patterns, that whether it's conscious or unconscious, it could be energetic blocks, versus a knowing is like just a deep truth that is just like it's always been there and you just discovered it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that answers your question, but that's kind of my relationship with desire and surrender.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it answers my question either, but it's definitely something very interesting that I like. And I agree with that. Yeah. There's something about knowing that transcends belief.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think belief can be a type of knowing.
Mm-hmm. I see that.
And also, there can be a type of belief that feels more like trying to know versus actually knowing.
Yeah, and they can change, and they can shift into the knowing. I almost feel like it's just an opportunity listening to create, to ask yourself. Believing, knowing, like, I know my name is Jessica. I know, I don't believe it. I know it versus something else. Right. So I think it's finding that opportunity within yourself. And then this whole conversation we've been having around surrender and asking yourself, are you surrendering into the knowing or are you fighting yourself into the believing?
I like that. That's a cool frame.
Mm.
There's another word that's coming up for me while we're talking about this whole knowing versus believing thing, though. It occurred to me earlier too, and I'm kind of surprised neither one of us has brought it up yet, which is trust.
Mm, oh, wow.
What's the relation?
We have not talked about that at all. I'm very surprised.
Seems kind of relevant.
What's
the relationship of trust to surrender?
I think it comes back to the knowing. I think it's trusting that whatever you're moving through right now, whether it's internally or externally, trusting that you're going to get on the other side of it. Trusting that your path is for you, trusting that your destiny is happening, trusting that, to me, trust is almost the same word as just knowing. And it's hard to just know that you are capable. It's hard to just know that you are meant to have this sort of relationship. You believe, I think I can have it. I believe that I can, but a knowing is like, I just know it. And I feel that I know that there is processes to get from believing to knowing. I trust that there's processes. Yeah. I think it's funny enough. I think more surrendering will come back into your knowing. Surrender more into what you're experiencing, and then you're going to find your knowing. That's so abstract in a way.
I think that's true. I think what you just said makes sense to me.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was occurring to me that trust is kind of like a belief that creates knowing.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean by that? Because mm-hmm. It's like we can say, I believe it's going to rain tomorrow, which sort of says, I have a certain confidence level.
Yeah. Percentage.
I have a certain level of confidence that it's going to rain tomorrow versus I know it's going to rain tomorrow. I don't know how you know that, but okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you have that certainty, knowledge. Yeah. Like knowing conveys as some kind of like 100% certainty.
Yeah.
And then trusting is sort of like whereas beliefs feel more like chosen. Trusting is sort of like chosen knowledge. Trusting is sort of like I have 100% confidence because I choose to. That's kind of like, that seems to me that that's what trust is about. It's, I've done
deep explorations just on the concept of trust before. So for me, this is unpacking, this is going back through some familiar territory, but
it's interesting to me to think of how trust bridges the gap between belief and knowledge in that way. I've never thought of it that way before.
I can see that. I can see that it's like I'm trusting to choose that this is my truth. And I think we're almost like working on this invisible system within ourselves. Like we think we know ourselves until we know ourselves in a way. And trusting that I'm going to figure this out, and also trusting that I'm going to be okay no matter what. And it's like trust is, I think, used in so many different variations. And then when it comes to like trust, surrender, desire, belief, or believing, you need to have, when you're in surrender, you need to trust that this is for you. You need to also trust that you're going to get on the other side, and you need to believe that whatever's happening right now is for your greatest and highest good. And then you need to have this, and then that's going to build the inner knowing of like, this is why I went through this, or this is exactly like, I'm thinking also again, like I relate to a lot of things through my lived experiences, and a lot of the things that I've had to surrender to have built the belief, or have built the knowing, but I had to believe at the time that I could move through it and trust that and surrender at the same time that like the timeline was gone. And then it was like just a knowing, like I'm now knowing myself. It's an interesting construct to talk about because I think it's so multifaceted and there's so many different waves and layers of surrender, trust, and then belief, and then the inner knowing that we just kind of brought into the space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But one of the reasons I brought it up is because, is trust necessary in order to experience surrender fully?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you have to, because then you're going to resist. Trusting is like folding in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Folding in, bowing into it is the trust of like, I trust, I'm accepting. Like, I think trust and acceptance go hand in hand in that way.
How do you find the trust that you need to surrender?
Oh, gosh.
When you need to?
What's coming up for me is seeing the light in the tunnel, even though it's not there. And you're almost like not faking till you make it, but holding on to the sense of hope and faith. And I think, I don't know if it's a survival mechanism in a way, but you start to believe in yourself in a new way. And I think you also have this, like, your drive and your tenacity kind of kicks in of like, we're going to figure this out. Like, we might not figure it out today, but like, this is not giving up. It's a deviation. It's a detour. Like, we are not giving up. So we're going to lean into this, and we're just going to be with it because we've tried to fight it. We've tried to go in different directions, and now we just need to like allow God to take the wheel. And I think that's almost where the higher power comes in of, I'm going to like God, source, spirit, what have you. You put this into my life for a reason. You made me feel, or you're causing me to feel this way. You're bringing this circumstance. I'm going to trust you. It's almost like you have to put your trust into something else, and then it kind of comes back into yourself when really, I mean, we are God. So, but there's something about having the guidance and having this sense of faith and hope that helps us bring us to the other side and like kind of bring us back into our own self of trust. And then I think the other part that is coming up is like evidence of past experiences, bringing that into the, like, I've done this before. I've done it in a different way. I can do it again. I got this. I can do it.
I think you nailed it when you said God.
I mean,
I think that's the answer.
Yeah.
You know, the question being, how do you find the trust that you need in order to surrender when you must or when you need to? And my past experience may fail me. I may find trust in that. My past experience may fail me. I may trust in my facilitator, or that trust may fail me. I may trust in this environment, this container. I may even trust in this medicine, or that may fail me. I may lose trust for everything and anything, but I can always find trust in God when I need to surrender.
And then it's like the same opposition of that, or duality in a way, is like, I'm trusting that, like, it can fail, and also I'm trusting, like, that's also a part of it. It's like this interesting piece of surrender, of just like going through everything. I trust, but I also know that this can fail me, and I'm going to trust that in a way. It's like not a negative. You kind of just don't see it as a negative anymore. To see it as what it is, like aliveness as what it is. It's going to work out, or it's still going to work out. You know?
But that's a knowing.
Ah, yeah. Yeah. It's a knowing.
Yeah. Interesting. Huh. Is there anything about surrender that is really interesting to you, or that we haven't explored yet?
I think that at the end of the day, it's about surrendering to the attachment created to the thing and allowing yourself to have a full spectrum of emotions to move through you, to alchemize, to have their time with you, that there's teachers there. And that is aliveness. That's actually what you're chasing. You're chasing aliveness. That's allowing yourself to feel the full spectrum of emotion. And surrender is an active act of feeling and then releasing. Releasing the attachment, feeling it fully, letting it go, moving on to something else. Being with the complexities of life and then finding your inner knowing. Finding that knowing that no matter where you are, no matter what's happening, you're gonna get the thing that you want, but you have to surrender into how it's supposed to happen. It's just like that constant ebb and flow of trust, surrender, release, trust, surrender, release, open, surrender, release, let go.
Lather, rinse, repeat.
Yes. Yeah, that.
For me, what's opened up in this conversation is a portal. I now see surrender as a portal. I see it as a kind of magic, that there's a kind of magic in the state of total relaxation that surrender requires, that the state of surrender, the act of surrender, the choice, whichever way we want to think of it, is synonymous with an acceptance of the full experience of the moment and everything that it contains, as well as a releasing of all of our tension, our clenching, our holding of that which is not allowing energy to move freely.
Which is actually the thing that's causing the resistance and suffering to getting to where you want to go.
Right.
Oof.
And so, yeah, now like reflecting back on my fairly rare moments of true, complete surrender in my life and the magic alchemy that happened for me in those moments, that's the relationship that I'm having with surrender now, is that it's really about allowing and achieving that state of dissolving the tension that prevents that which wants to be, that which wants to happen,
that which wants to be, that which is what is present.
Yeah. And there's a really important connection to me with death, the relationship to death, and how many connection points it seems that we have in our transformational experiences that are connected to that state of relaxing into the awareness, the reality of our own death. And sometimes we call it an ego death, which means our identity has completely dissolved, or it may be an actual literal fear of extinction in this physical life form from a near-death experience or a very powerful ceremony or even different types of meditation that can take us to that place where we actually think we're going to die, or we think we're experiencing death. And having those moments of surrender into that and coming out the other side, there's a magic alchemy in that too that allows us to be ever more fully alive, to have ever more of an actual relationship with the experience of the reality of this moment, what's actually happening now, as opposed to living in our virtual reality of fear of what we think is on the other side of that moment.
Yeah, said it so well.
This was a really rich conversation for me. I got a lot from this. I hope you enjoyed it as well.
I so enjoyed it. I haven't explored surrender at this depth and magnitude. So it was a reminder for me of how humbling surrender really is and how magically alchemical it is. And it's just a part of the process. And I love what you said of just allowing to flow what's present. And just like, that's actually the tension. That's actually the resistance. You think it's the fear, but it's the actual relationship you have with the fear. That's that needs to dissolve or evolve.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm taking away like allowing whatever's present to just surrender into it and just not shaming it, not hiding it, just being with it and allowing more spaciousness. We as humans have so much capacity to hold all of ourselves. We just haven't explored it yet, or we haven't been shown how. And I think surrender is a really great portal to realize like, wow, we can hold a lot. We can do a lot. And then on the other side of it, we can be more of ourselves because we've learned to surrender into who we are.
Beautiful. Yeah. Great capstone summary. Thank you so much for this conversation. Before we close, I just want to, you know, ask you and invite you to just tell me and anyone who's listening a little bit about the work that you do and how anyone could find you if they wanted to connect and learn more or get in touch with you.
So mostly on social media, at Jessica Marie Stepp on Instagram and also TikTok. TikTok's been really fun. I've been surrendering to my voice there. So social media has been my big main hub of community. A lot of the work that I do is energy work and working a lot with the Akashic Records. So essentially just like being able to connect with your soul's timeline, past, present, future. And that's also been transmuting into body work on the table. So I've been calling them Akashic body clearing sessions, which has been really cool. And then on top of that, I'm also doing medicine ceremonies. So in Austin, and maybe they will expand in different parts of the world, but utilizing psilocybin as my main teacher, as our main guide. And just really, again, my whole premise through all the work that I do is helping you feel okay with the sense of who you truly are and allowing yourself to go into the depths, because we didn't touch on this. This wasn't a part of the conversation per se. But the shadows is really where our power lives, I believe. And the more that we can surrender into who we really are and go into the depths and strip away, let go of the pieces, the layers, the identities of ourselves, we can then come home to who we truly get to be. And it just becomes more of a knowing, and we get to actualize that. So I love helping people actualize that through medicine, through embodiment experiences, through the Akashic Records, all the things.
Amazing. Awesome. It sounds like an abundant portfolio of magical gifts that you have to offer. So I'll be happy to share whatever links and connections that you'd like in the show notes for this episode. And just thanks again, really so much for spending this time with me. It was really, really good conversation, and I hope you'd like to do it again sometime.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining me for Intentional Evolution. If you'd like to support the show, there's a couple of ways that you can do that. One is to connect with me directly. I'd love to start a conversation with you if you're interested in any of my offers, or if you'd like to be a guest on this podcast. Visit ievolve.life, L-I-F-E, and drop me a note or book a call with me to connect. Another great way to get involved is to attend one of our live events. Visit intentionalevolution.live, L-I-V-E, to see details about our upcoming and past events, register to attend an event, and gain access to our ever-growing archive of materials and resources. Also, don't forget to check the links in the episode or the show notes for ways to connect with and support our guests and contributors. Thanks again, and I'll see you in the Singularity.